to Germany. Look at the rise of xenophobia in pretty well, well, in lots of countries on this continent. The euro is not creating the unity which you seem to be, I nearly said dreaming of, envisioning, thinking about. It's actually destroying it. Is it not? The evidence is clear for all to see.
No, I would clearly disagree, because
a currency
cannot unite.
From me.
I, of course, read what is written on the island. Yes, but the answer to the situation in which we are in is clearly not less Europe. It's more Europe. I mean, look at the globe. We are not an island. If you look at the globe, we Europeans, we are tiny. If we want to have a chance to have a say in global governance, in economic issues, in climate issues, in environmental issues, we must unite our voices. That is difficult, but we cannot stay where we are. Otherwise, we would clearly lose influence in global economic governance.
Thank you very much. We move on. You're listening to Business Daily with Steve Evans in Berlin.
And me, Manuela Saragossa, in Madrid. And we've got quite a few people here who are quite keen to make their comments known. Emilio Sáenz Francés, he's a history lecturer. He's in our audience here. You wanted to make your point.
Thank you very much. Well, as it was said, I am lecturer at King Juan Carlos University in Madrid. And there are, I think, quite critical points here. This is, first of all, this focus that was mentioned in Spain, I think, is quite dangerous, because Spain is obviously going through very difficult times, but we are also a dynamic country. We are just in a wonderful venue in the middle of a wonderful city like Madrid. We have enterprises challenging, well, horrible problems all around the world successfully. We are a country with a huge future laying ahead of us. So we must not lose, not only in Spain, but also in Berlin or anywhere else, the perspective of the possibilities of this country. I was not trained as an economist, so I will not enter in the economic specificness of the crisis. But I think that there is also a political point that is skipped in this crisis. This is what kind of Europe we like for the future. And this is related to, well, a fact. We are in the first important crossroads in the history of Europe building, European Union building, and the solution is not only in terms of reforms that obviously are in a strong need. It's also in the reflection about what kind of Europe we want in the future.
Okay, let me bring Professor José Torreblanca in then there, because it seems to me that the question then is how much pain people can take before it becomes unsustainable, really, what's happening to the economy here.
Well, I think the question of pain is whether how much is necessary and how much is unnecessary. And when you have still today, and this is the question to the audience or to the people in Germany, when you still have today Spain's debt being lower than Germany's, but Spaniards are financing their debt at 6% and Germans are financing the 1%, this is not an even race, right? So somebody's been holding you from the back while you're trying to achieve things. And this is very clear. And there is also a very important asymmetry in the way the ECB is treating the financial sector, giving it unlimited amount of money at 1%. Is there no moral hazard into this? Whereas it is allowing member states to finance themselves on the market at very high interest rates. I'm not saying that what they're doing with the banks is wrong. What I'm saying is that very clearly there is an asymmetry in what they're doing there. And then they tell us that there are euro bonds maybe in the future. No, this is very clearly. If we've signed a fiscal compact which says that your finances should be in order, and therefore, automatically, once you reach 60% and 3% deficit, Eurobonds should come just like that. Huh? Because otherwise, what is the goal of those targets? But if we are not courageous enough, and this is about the future and about political union, to discuss what happens when we reach those goals, then what are all these sacrifices for? How do you tell these people, maybe?
Okay, let me bring José María Benito of the Partido Popular in there. Are these sacrifices worth it?
Absolutely. As it was being said before by a member of the audience, the country has a full capability to go through this situation. I think the media very often, of course, put the emphasis on weaknesses, but what about the strengthnesses of Spain? They were pointed out before. Of course, the sacrifices are going to be worth. We just need to keep a certain patience. I mean, Churchill was, crying what had to be done during the Second World War, but he said at the same time, we will conquer. You know, we will come through this struggle more strengthened.
Okay. Steve in Berlin, they're saying then that they're going to come through this struggle. Over to your panel in Berlin.
Professor Kerber,
But I think the discussion goes or takes a direction which is a little bit irrational. The question is not about whether Germans are generous or not generous, whether the Spaniards are strong or less strong. I have myself great admiration for Spain, and I must tell you, all our Spanish friends, that I came to Spain in 1976 for the first time. I didn't go there before the end of the dictatorship. I tried to contribute to the emergence of Spanish democracy, and you have the right to say that you are a wonderful nation and a very successful democracy. But as a matter of fact, will you please not expect from European policy or from national policy to suspend market forces, saying that for Spanish long-term debt you need to pay a return of 6%, for German long-term debt you need roughly to pay something around 2%.
Right.
If you want to go on in that process, you just have to encourage Mr. Asmussen to distort competition on the capital markets even more.
Right.
ECB is already some sort of fiscal fire brigade,
Mr.
distorting competition. So if you go on in that direction, you will lead the system to a collapse. And this
Professor
is what's
Kerber, thank you very much indeed. Point clearly made.
So, okay. About the interest rates. In March, Spain had got refinancing by, I think it was half as high interest rates like it would now have to pay. And it was a reaction on a policy was very good, but the markets said it's not good enough. And so all the market forces you have to keep in mind. And if Mr. Asmussen said that on at the end of a process by some convergence of the spreads of interest rates, you can have Eurobonds. So that's exactly the time you don't need it, because the goal of the policy to have more competitiveness and more seriousness in financing your public spending is reached. So they are obviously not needed anymore.
Let me bring in the economist, Professor Schmidt, the wise man. There is a saying in English, the operation was a success, but the patient died. Is there a danger with your economics that it works out theoretically, but it fractures the Eurozone and destroys a good chunk of Spanish industry?
Well, as I said, it's a matter of balance, and we are on a knife's edge, of course. The ECB stepped in at the end of last year because it took responsibility, and it took the responsibility that is originally the responsibility of the governments, refinancing, recapitalizing banks, getting your public financing in order, taking up the task of reforming the economy in order to improve competitiveness. That's all has to be done by European governments. There is an alternative. The alternative has been suggested by the Council of Economic Experts last fall. We are not part of the German government, of course, so it's not a government proposal. It's just mutualizing part of the debt, but under high conditionality in a so-called European redemption fund, because you can't really drown the problem in more debt for eternity. It's a risky endeavor. We need structural reforms, and we need to reduce the debt that is the problem of many European countries. And there has to be solidarity, but there has also to be a lot of conditionality.
Mr. Asmussen, again, the ECB, not the German hat. The talk now is of growth. it is the buzzword. Monsieur Hollande in France is talking about renegotiating various things. How do you tell the people in Spain that the agenda is now growth, particularly when the very constitution of your organization, the ECB, puts the emphasis on inflation, controlling inflation, but not on keeping employment up? It's an asymmetrical aim.
Yeah, we have a primary objective given in our mandate by European top politicians, the European Council. This is to ensure price stability. This is our mandate. This does not say that growth is not important, but we are not the policymaker and we do not have the instruments to do this. So I clearly agree that growth is important. The question is, how do we get there? The debate at the moment is a little bit that people try to suggest that there is a trade-off between fiscal consolidation and growth. And this is clearly, in our view, not the case. Sound fiscal policy is a precondition for growth. In order to get there, you need fiscal consolidation, but this must be accompanied by structural reforms which create growth and jobs. So all programs are built on these two-pillar strategy. You need both fiscal consolidation and growth-enhancing structural measures. That does not say, to be honest, that in the short term, fiscal consolidation can be negative to growth. One should be honest to confess this. But there is no easy solution. There is no silver bullet to avoid this. I mean, to fight a public and private debt crisis with, let's say, more debt is simply an illusion.
Let's throw that idea to Spain. You can't solve a debt crisis by borrowing more.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Juan Moscoso del Prado is sitting next to me here from the Socialist Party, the opposition Socialist Party in Spain. You heard there the arguments about the need for structural reform, the need for fiscal consolidation. But you were making a point earlier about Germany doing more. What would you like to see Germany do to help Spain out of its crisis?
Well, I think it's easy to understand why people are blaming Germany for many of the things that are happening when you see how decisions are taken. Someone from the floor here said that what kind of Europe we want. If you see that decisions are taken after a romantic weekend of Ms. Merkel and Mr. Sarkozy at Deauville, and then the next day European Council is called and then everybody has to go and change his constitution, it's not a very straightforward way to reconvince people that that's the way we have to solve the crisis. As you said, we agree from my party with what Mr. Benito said from the Popular Party, with Torreblanca, about the aims and the goals and and the ideas we have from our country, even though we might not agree in some of the policy mix decisions are taken, but just in the little details. We can have a different policy mix at European level for the Eurozone. And that means that Eurobonds and many other decisions are not considered long-run or medium-term decisions, but also short-run measures, because we've been discussing this for 4 years. And for 4 years, many people, we've been saying, and we know it very well each other here in Madrid now, that growth measures have to go side by side with austerity measures.
Okay, Gonzalo Gortazar from CaixaBank, you wanted to make a point as well.
Yeah, one quick point. Obviously, we've discussed whether the 6% cost for Spanish bonds versus German bonds is fair or not. I think at this point, there's an element of confidence that has been broken. When confidence is broken, when trust is broken in the financial markets do not work properly. And you know, we know that well. The U.S. had to intervene in AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. The U.K. had to do it, RBS, BNB, Northern Rock. We are at a point where, obviously, there's a major need for Spain to take a hard medicine, to bring its public finance in order. There's no question. But along that way, there's going to be need for help. If there's no help coming, if there's no understanding, if there's no support, or if there's not enough support, then we'll hurt Spain and immediately we'll hurt Europe.
What would you like to see Germany do then?
Well, I think we need to see continuous support for the major agenda of reforms that the government and the country has undertaken. What we have done is actually quite drastic. We need to do much more, but we need to have actually the convincing of the ECB, the central bank, and the European Union and our partners in the Eurozone that is actually in the right on the right way.
Gail Allard, a professor of economics from IE Business School here in Madrid, would also like to make a point from our audience.
Yes, I think the comments that have been made here about that we need some support from the Eurozone, I think this is a really important point, because if you have a patient, going back to our metaphor, who is taking the medicine that has been prescribed, a patient who really wasn't in such bad shape fiscally, as has been pointed out, and has enacted the most ambitious labor market reform we have seen in the OECD since World War II. It's not just a little bit. And a very austere budget, and they're going for it, and the markets are punishing them. The markets are not operating correctly. I think maybe the doctor needs to step back and wonder if the prescription was correct. I think Spain is a prime example of where that could happen.